This audio is brought to you by MuslimCentral.com.
To create room for people, may Allah Ta'ala bless you. You know, one of the challenges that sometimes escapes us is the impact of the greater society on our traits, what makes us who we are. Living in a time where there's so much asked of every single person. You know, whether it's somebody working in the corporate sphere or parents at home or children of parents, kids who are at school, spouses, everyone is being out of a lot. And this pressure has put upon us this seemingly impossible demand. Any error, if any room at all. And this kind of characteristic, the course of 10, 20, 30 years, it takes a toll on the heart of every Muslim. And it starts to change, to even sometimes replace what is the actual substance of the heart of the believers, of those people who claim to believe in La ilaha illallah Muhammad Rasulullah. And it starts to push aside some of those beautiful traits of the heart, and this then opens the door for what we know as amrad al-qulub, the diseases of the heart. Today's khutbah, we're going to talk about one of the traits that the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, he cared about so much. This is a trait that you might not think of at first. Everybody knows you think the Prophet, one of his favorite personality traits was, his characteristics. We might have a lot, and we could be correct, but this one seems to always slide under the radar. The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, إِنَّمَا بُعِثْتُ لِيُتَمِّمُ مَكَارِمِ الْأَخْلَاقِ. That was meant as a means and as a way to try to rectify and to purify and to complete everyone's character, to give everyone good character with one another. And so the Prophet ﷺ knew that his job was to try to rectify us, to take something that's crooked and to make it straight. Allah Ta'ala said in the verse that I just quoted, لَقَدْ كَانَ لَكُمْ فِي رَسُولِ اللَّهِ أُسْوَةٌ حَسَنَةٌ, that this messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wasallam, one of the miracles that Allah gave us amongst him is that his character, no matter what time, what place, who you are, what your situation in life, it will always be meant to you. You're going to always be able to look at the stories of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam and find something to take. لِمَنْ كَانَ يَرْجُ اللَّهِ, whoever hope seeks Allah Ta'ala wal yawm al-akhirah, and those who look forward to the day of judgment, wa dhakar Allah kathira, and those people who remember Allah a great amount. Now this trait is one that we all have to admit that there is room to grow. There is a deficiency. And this is the trait of rifq. Close friends, they mean more than a person who's just going and talking to people that they barely know. So he's sitting and having an intimate conversation with Umm al-Mu'mineen Aisha radiallahu anha, our mother, and he's saying that Allah loves gentleness. It's one of his characteristics is that he's gentle. And then he says, وَيُعْطِي عَلَى الْرِفْقِ مَا لَا يُعْطِي عَلَى الْعُنْفِ, and Allah will give and he will provide through a person being gentle what he would never give through a person being harsh. Gentleness is a key that unlocks problems and unlocks challenges that being harsh doesn't even have a chance. And he says to her, and he says, وَمَا لَا يُعْطِي عَلَى مَا سِوَى, and in fact, there are some things that Allah will never give to you except if you do it in a way that's gentle. This is something that proves to be true time and time again. I want everyone here to think about your relationships with your spouse, your kids, with your co-workers, those you're in charge of, at school, your classmates, your teachers, your community members, those that are close to you. You know, there's this seemingly impossible puzzle of trying to convince kids when to go to bed, or when to wake up for school, or to brush their teeth, or trying to convince your spouse that something is really important to you, or trying to talk to your parents and get them to understand where you're coming from. And the nafs internally, this very, you know, animalistic substance within us, it tries to get us to force people by submission to listen to what I'm saying and to do what I'm telling you to do. But the Prophet ﷺ here is telling us that this is the way of the nafs, not the way of the ruh. This is the way of your ego. the person that thinks that they're all that, not the way of the beautiful faith that Allah Ta'ala gave to each and every one of us. The Prophet ﷺ, he also said in a hadith, is beautiful. He said that, مَنْ أُعْطِيَ حَذَّهُ مِنَ الرِّفْقِ. Whoever Allah blessed as a person who had gentleness in their dealings with people, فَقَدْ أُعْطِيَ حَذَّهُ مِنَ الْخَيْرِ. That Allah Ta'ala has guaranteed that this person has attained some sort of goodness that He has given to them. Now, it's easy to talk about gentleness in theory, right? Good character in theory is always very easy. I could tell everybody here, be generous, be patient, you know, be nice to people. But what about the Prophet ﷺ in moments, when it was testing him? You know, there's a day known as the Day of Uhud, the Battle of Uhud, which was one of the greatest tests upon the Prophet Muhammad ﷺ. I can't tell the whole story, but in summary, it was one of the greatest tests of his life. The battle immediately following or shortly thereafter the Battle of Badr, where the Muslims were sky high in their confidence and they were feeling very confident in being able to protect themselves in their new city of Medina Munawwara. And now the Battle of Uhud comes upon the Muslims and they're overwhelmed by the numbers, but again they realize that Allah is on their side. And in that moment, on that day, the battle starts out in a very good way. The Muslims are actually defending themselves. They're pushing back the aggressors, the Quraysh from Mecca. They're winning the battle. But there's one group of people that in that moment were critical to either the success or the failure of the Muslims on that day. Just one group. And the Prophet ﷺ knew this. And that's why before the battle, before it even started, he pulled that group aside and he told them that you have instructions that cannot be ignored. They cannot be forgotten. If you ignore what I'm telling you, the fate of the entire ummah here today is going to have to suffer if you forget this. What are those instructions? He told the archers that you are positioned here on this mount and you should not leave, even if, he said, you see that there are vultures picking apart our bodies. Do not leave. Into the battle, as the Muslims start to win, and it begins to become apparent that they will win, it seems like, again, another replay of Badr. We're going to win. The archers start to see that some of the things that the Quraysh are leaving behind, their sword, shield, and other expensive belongings, are being picked up by some of their fellow companions. And they start to feel within themselves this urge that we're going to miss out. All these people are picking up the spoils of war, and we're not going to be there. So some of them, not all, some of them begin to leave the post and they begin to leave the explicit instruction of the Prophet ﷺ. And when this happens, Khalid ibn al-Walid, who later becomes Muslim, radiallahu anhu, he sees this and he realizes that the archers were protecting the Muslims, and now that they're gone, we can go around from the other side and this is game over. So he takes half of his army, goes around, and while the Muslims are fighting on one side, now all of a sudden they start to unleash chaos upon the Muslims from the other side, and now it's a two-front war. People are losing it. People are rushing. People don't know who they're fighting. The companions that are close to the Prophet ﷺ are grabbing him, are picking him up. Some of them are shielding him with their own bodies as arrows are raining down from the sky from the Quraysh. It's absolute chaos. All because there was one group that didn't listen. And then they go and they recover and they shield away the Prophet ﷺ and they protect him. And in this, the Prophet ﷺ's uncle Hamza radiallahu anhu is martyred. Mus'ab ibn Umair, in an act of bravery, is martyred to protect the Prophet ﷺ. Many companions are martyred. When the Prophet ﷺ saw Hamza's body lying there the way that it was, the hadith says that he let out this groan that could only be described as involuntary. He was weeping so heavily that he couldn't stop himself. Now, why did I tell you all of that about gentleness? Because think for a moment, if you were in the shoes of the Prophet ﷺ, what would you do? And what would you say? And how would you treat those people that you gave that one very simple instruction? You told them one thing. That's it. You didn't have to do anything else. You don't even have to go fight hand-to-hand combat. No swords. Just sit here with your bow and arrow, and if somebody comes around from the back, I want you to shoot an arrow at them. You don't even have to hit them. You just have to let them know that they can't come this way. How would you respond to the Prophet, to those people in this moment, if you were in the shoes of the Prophet? Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, He teaches us something about gentleness. This is a moment where you would argue, and I would argue too, that we have a right to be harsh. There was devastation. There was disobedience. We have a right. We have to make an example. We have to make a lesson out of this. What did Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala say? فَبِمَا رَحْمَةٍ مِنَ اللَّهِ لِنْتَ لَهُمْ If Allah had not placed mercy in your heart to be lenient with those people, وَلَوْ كُنْتَ فَضَّ غَلِيذًا And if you were tough on them and harsh on them, غَلِيلَ الْقَلْبِ لَنْفَضُّوا If you were tough on them and you had a harsh heart with them, they would have turned around, مِنْ حَوْلِكَ They would have left you. They would have absolutely just left you in there, standing by yourself. فَعْفُ عَنْهُمْ وَاسْتَغْفِرْ لَهُمْ وَشَاوِرْهُمْ فِي الْأَمْرِ So with these people, what you need to do is you need to go up to them and you need to forgive them. And you need to seek forgiveness from Allah on their behalf. Not from them. Ask Allah, oh Allah, forgive them. They made a mistake. They didn't know. They didn't realize how serious it was going to be if they left. All the pain they caused, oh Allah, don't hold them accountable for that. وَشَاوِرْهُمْ فِي الْأَمْرِ And then on top of that even, when you see them in Medina, when you see them walking the streets, don't make them walk around with their heads hung low. Don't ignore them. Don't make them outcasts in the community. No, no, no. You have to go up to them and say, hey, come here. I know that we had that mistake before, but I have to ask you something. What do you think we should do now? What do you think we should do with this situation? To bring them in emotionally. SubhanAllah. You see how Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is coaching the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam on how to use the mercy that he has to show everybody, including us, that gentleness is the way. No matter what somebody does, harshness will never work the same. That in the moment that you think deserves it, being a person of lenience and gentleness is the way. There's another story of a companion. I know we don't have too much time. But Hatim ibn Abi Balta, who was a Badri, he fought in the Battle of Badr. He witnessed the miracle of angels coming down from the sky and saving and winning the battle with the Muslims. This companion is no joke. You know, those people, Ashab al-Badr, they had a special status with the Prophet ﷺ and with the Ummah. They were no joke. But he's human. And every human makes mistakes. So what did Hatim do? Well, when the Muslims were planning and they were going back and forth with the Quraysh, sending political messages and sending political threats in order to protect their boundaries, Hatim becomes worried. Why does he become worried? Because his family still lives in Mecca. And he's known to be a Muslim. He's there in Medina. So what happens if the Quraysh find out that some of their residents in Mecca are actually family of the enemy? So Hatim becomes concerned. He's a human. So he writes a letter to the Quraysh. And he tells the Quraysh, this is what the Muslims are planning. This is what the Muslims are planning to Quraysh. This letter, fortunately, is intercepted. Now you got to imagine how he feels. Radiallahu anhu, may Allah be pleased with him. He fought in the Battle of Badr, witnessed miracles, close companion of the Prophet ﷺ. And he almost, by virtue of his weakness for his family, which is normal, he almost, perhaps, ruined what we would know as Medina at that time, and who knows where it would have gone from there. And so the Prophet ﷺ calls him, and Umar, who was part of the group that intercepted the letter, is with him. And you know Umar. Umar is like, this is treason. This is clear. This person's a munafiq. This person's a hypocrite. This is clear. Waldih. There's no disagreement. Look at what he did. The Prophet ﷺ, he looks at Hatim, and he asks him, gentleness. Hatim, I know what you did, and I know what it looks like you did. But can you tell me what you did? You see how the Prophet ﷺ controls whatever human characteristic all of us might have felt in that moment. How dare you? Do you know what you could have done? There's no excuse good enough for what you just... No. He says, Hatim, can you tell me why you did what you did? Hatim starts crying, weeping in front of the Prophet ﷺ. Ya Rasulullah, I was with you in Badr. Wallahi, I believe in you. Wallahi, I'm a Muslim. Ya Rasulullah. But Ya Rasulullah, I'm weak and my family is there. And I thought that maybe if I just gave them a little bit of information. He said, Ya Rasulullah, I know Allah will protect you. I have no doubt in my faith that you're going to win. But I thought maybe if I gave them a little bit, they would have protected my family from the fighting as a reward for me giving them that little bit. Oh, Ya Rasulullah, please forgive me. Please forgive me. And the Prophet ﷺ, he says, this person, this man, he acted upon what was within him as a human, but he was with us in Badr. He has a special status with us. I know his faith is real. Again, the gentleness is what was there. Now, subhanAllah, fast forward much later, when the Prophet ﷺ is sending delegates out to the different leaders of the parts of Arabia and North Africa, who does he send to Egypt to meet with the leader of Egypt to represent Islam? Hatim ibn Abi Balta. The one that any one of us would have said, no, I don't trust that guy for a second. Don't blink in front of him. You can't trust him for a minute. The Prophet ﷺ says, not only do I trust you, not only do I think that you have true faith, you're going to represent us later. And I'm going to send you. Because that loyalty from Badr is hard to beat. So this characteristic is something that the Prophet ﷺ, he taught us we need to have in every single moment. Aisha radiallahu anha, there's a narration in which there was a group of people from the tribe of the Jews that walked by and they called out to the Prophet ﷺ, Assalamu alaikum, Assalamu alaikum, which means may death be upon you, but it sounds kind of familiar. It sounds like Assalamu alaikum. So the Prophet ﷺ heard this and Aisha was standing there, she heard it too. And so he says back to them, the Prophet ﷺ didn't start to get unruly. No, of course not. وَإِنَّكَ لَعَلَىٰ خُلُقٍ عَظِيمٍ Allah says that his character is above everybody else's. He doesn't fight like we do. He doesn't box low like we do. He takes the high road. So what does he do? The minimum he'll do when someone says, may death be upon you, is he says, وَعَلَيْكُمْ Which is the response to whenever a person greets you is to say, وَعَلَيْكُمْ So if you said, السَّلَامُ عَلَيْكُمْ May peace be upon you, then wa alaikum, may peace be upon you too. But if you're saying what I think you said, which is may death be upon you, then man, I feel bad for you because wa alaikum, and I'm the Prophet of God, who are you? So Aisha radiallahu anha, she hears this, and she responds with a little bit more fire, with a little bit more energy. She says, wa alaikum assam, and may death be upon you. Wa la'nakum Allah, and may Allah's curse be upon you. Wa ghadiba alaikum, and may his anger rain down upon you. Right now, husbands, if this was your wife in this situation, you're like, Alhamdulillah, right? Takbir. I knew I married the right one, you know? And this is, again, like, because why? Because your honor is being challenged, and your companion, your spouse, just stands up for you in that moment, right? You know, someone says to your wife in a grocery store, hey, go back to Islam, right? And you're like, excuse me, right? Our honor is being challenged. We're not separate, we're a team. What does the Prophet ﷺ say? He doesn't look at her and say, high five. He looks at her and he says, subhanAllah. He says, mahlan, mahlan ya Aisha. Relax, relax. That was uncalled for. That was uncalled for. So she becomes confused. He says, alayki birrifqi. You have to be gentle with people. Wa iyaki al-unf. And you can't be harsh with people like that. What are you doing? And she responds and she says, hold on. Maybe he thought they said salam. So she says, أَوَلَمْ تَسْمَعَ مَا قَالُوا Didn't you hear what they said to you? I'm not making things up. They were cursing you. The Prophet ﷺ says, na'am, I heard. He says, أَوَلَمْ تَسْمَعِ مَا قُلْتُ Don't worry about what they said. Do you hear what I'm saying? What I'm saying is, no matter what someone says to you, your response is always better. Idfa billati hiya ahsan. Always respond with that which is better. We are not an eye for an eye. We are not punching back. As Muslims, we always respond with that which is better. Now, I'll end because we have a short amount of time left with some of the things that you can do to become gentle. Because a lot of us might give ourselves the excuse, right? We might say, well, you know what? It's just the way I am. I'm tough. I'm harsh. But subhanAllah, brothers and sisters, Islam came to change who we are. Islam came to take all the rough edges and to sand them down, to make us nice and smooth. with each other so that we can live according to the sunnah of the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam. The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, he said, even to Aisha one time, she was riding a camel, and she said the camel wasn't listening, so I started to slap its back. And it's a camel. You know, camel's not going to feel the slap of a human in the same way that we would feel the slaps of each other. If you slap a camel, it's like slapping a wall. It might hurt you more than it hurts the camel. But the Prophet ﷺ, he said, Ya Aisha, alayki birrifq, be gentle. Don't be harsh with this animal. Because he said what? He says, Lam yakun fi shay'in qat illa zana. He said, gentleness is never found in anything except it beautifies that moment. He says, وَلَمْ يَنْزَعُوا فِي شَيْءٍ إِلَّا شَانَ. And when you remove gentleness from a situation, it just makes it ugly. It just makes it disgusting. It just ruins the whole thing. So number one, brothers and sisters, is having gentleness with our community. The Prophet ﷺ warned us not to be those people who push people away. Sure, you might see children running around. You might see someone who doesn't look like they know where they're going. Maybe they cut in front of you. You might see people who are not dressed the way that you want people to dress when they come to the house of Allah. But remember that if you give up your gentleness in defense of Allah, then you are making that moment nothing for you but an ugly moment. The Prophet ﷺ handled the Bedouin urinating in his masjid. He handled the man who came to him and asked for things. Ittaqillah ya Muhammad. Fear Allah ya Muhammad. Can you imagine someone saying that to the Prophet of God? How did he handle that? One time a non-Muslim grabbed him by the shirt and said, give me my money. And Omar grabbed his sword and said, Ya Rasulullah, give me the wink. I will take care of this guy. The Prophet ﷺ said, La, give him his money and give him some more. This is our messenger, sallallahu alayhi wasallam. How do we treat each other? Number two, how do we treat our family? How do we treat our children? I know I'm a parent. I have two young kids. My son is half Egyptian, is a quarter Egyptian. And if you know Egyptians, we're tough people, right? Emotionally. I know it's tough to get your kids in bed. I know it's tough to get your kids in the car to get them to eat their food. I know that spouses disagree, that parents and kids have tension. Harshness is not going to solve anything. The ego feels good, but the situation is ruined. We ask Allah Ta'ala to give us gentleness. Ameen ya Rabbil Alameen. And brothers and sisters, lastly, before we conclude, be gentle with yourselves. Be gentle on yourself. The Prophet ﷺ said, Inna hadha deen matinun, fa'awghil bihi birifqin. This deen is tough. It can be tough. And if you beat yourself up constantly and force too much on you at once, you could end up falling apart. فَأَوْغِلْ بِهِ بِرِفْقٍ. Meaning what? Come to this religion with gentleness. Don't try to force everything on others or yourself. And you will have the success that you're looking for. We ask Allah Ta'ala to grant us tawfiq. We ask Allah Ta'ala to make us those who have gentleness. أَقُولِ كُولِ هَذَا وَاسْتَغْفِرَ اللَّهِ لِي وَلَكُمْ وَلِيسَائِلِ الْمُسْلِمِينَ الْمُسْلِمَاتِ فَاسْتَغْفِرُوا إِنَّهُ الْغَفُورُ الرَّحِيمُ. الحمد لله رب العالمين والصلاة والسلام على أشرف الأنبياء والمرسلين سيدنا محمد صلى الله عليه وسلم وعلى آله وأصحابه أجمعين. Brothers and sisters, this khutbah is a reminder to everybody. No one here, including myself, is exempt. We ask Allah Ta'ala to give us all the good from it and to protect us from all of the bad. There is, inshallah, after prayer, we'll make a dua and end the khutbah here. There is a janazah here today for a young child. We ask Allah Ta'ala to bless and protect and to give courage and sabr to the family of the departed child. Ameen. I really ask everybody to be gentle in this moment. I know that people have plans and people have families and schedules. If I could ask everybody please to attend the janazah prayer of this young child, I think it would mean the world to the family, and this is what community is for. We ask Allah Ta'ala to accept. Inna Allah wa malaikatahu yusalluna ala nabi. Ya ayyuhalladhina amanu sallu alayhi wa sallimu taslima. Allahumma salli ala Muhammadin wa ala ali Muhammad kama sallaita ala Ibrahim wa ala ali Ibrahim fil alamin innaka Hamidun Majid. Allahumma barik ala Muhammadin wa ala ali Muhammad kama barakta ala Ibrahim wa ala ali Ibrahim fil alamin innaka Hamidun Majid. Inna Allaha ya'muru bil 'adli wal ihsan wa ita'i dhil qurba wa yanha 'anil fahsha'i wal munkari wal baghi ya'idhukum la'allakum tadhakkarun. Aqimus salah.